Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. This here is Book 12, Chapter 5. Nicholas sat leaning slightly forward in an armchair, bending closely over the blonde lady and paying her mythological compliments with a smile that never left his face. Jauntily shifting the position of his legs in their tight riding breeches, diffusing an odour of perfume and admiring his partner, himself and the fine outlines of his legs in their well-fitting Hessian boots, Nicholas told the blonde lady that he wished to run away with a certain lady here in Varennes. Which lady? A charming lady, a divine one. Her eyes, Nicholas looked at his partner, are blue, her mouth coral and ivory, her figure, he glanced at her shoulders, like Diana's. The husband came up and sullenly asked his wife what she was talking about. Ah, Nikita Ivanich, cried Nicholas, rising politely, and as if wishing Nikita Ivanich to share his joke, he began to tell him of his intention to elope with a blonde lady. The husband smiled gloomily, the wife gaily. The governor's good-natured wife came up with a look of disapproval. Anna Ignatievna wants to see you, Nicholas, said she, pronouncing the name so that Nicholas at once understood that Anna Ignatievna was a very important person. Come, Nicholas, you know you let me call you so. Oh, yes, aunt, who is she? Anna Ignatievna Melvintevsva. She has heard from her niece how you rescued her. Can you guess? I've rescued such a lot of them, said Nicholas. Her niece, Princess Bolkonskaya, she is here in Varennes with her aunt. Oh, how you blush. Why, not a bit. Please don't, aunt. Very well, very well. Oh, what a fellow you are. The governor's wife led him up to a tall and very stout old lady with a blue headdress, who had just finished her game of cards with the most important personages of the town. This was Malvintseva, Princess Mary's aunt on her mother's side, a rich, childless widow who always lived in Varennes. When Rostov approached her, she was standing, settling up for the game. She looked at him and, screwing her eyes sternly, continued to upbraid the general who had won from her. Very pleased, monsieur, she then said, holding out her hand to Nicholas. Pray, come and see me. After a few words about Princess Mary and her late father, whom Malvintseva had evidently not liked, and having asked what Nicholas knew of Prince Andrew, who also was evidently no favourite of hers, the important old lady dismissed Nicholas after repeating her invitation to come see her. Nicholas promised to come and blushed again, and as he bowed. At the mention of Princess Mary, he experienced a feeling of shyness and even of fear, which he himself did not understand. When he had parted from Malvintseva, Nicholas wished to return to the dancing, but the governor's little wife placed her plump hand on his sleeve and, saying that she wanted to have a talk with him, led him to her sitting room, from which those who were there immediately withdrew so as not to be in her way. "Do you know, dear boy," began the governor's wife, with a serious expression on her kind little face, "that really would be the match for you. Would you like me to arrange it?" "Whom do you mean, aunt?" asked Nicholas. "I will make a match for you with the princess. Catherine Provna speaks of Lily, but I say no, the princess. Do you want me to do it? I am sure your mother will be grateful to me. What a charming girl she is, really. And she is not at all so plain, either." "Not at all," replied Nicholas, as if offended at the idea. "As befits a soldier, aunt, I don't force myself on anyone nor refuse anything," he said, before he had time to consider what he was saying. Well then, remember, this is not a joke. Of course not. Yes, yes, the governor's wife said, as if talking to herself. But, my dear boy, among other things, you are too attentive to the other, the blonde. One is sorry for her husband, really. Oh no, we are good friends with him, said Nicholas, in the simplicity of his heart. It did not enter his head that a pastime so pleasant to himself might not be pleasant to anyone else. But what nonsense I have been saying to the governor's wife, thought Nicholas suddenly at supper. She will really begin to arrange a match, and Sonya. And on taking leave of the governor's wife, when she again smilingly said to him, "Well then, remember," he drew her aside. But see here, to tell you the truth, aunt. What is it, my dear? Come, let's sit down here, said she. Nicholas suddenly felt a desire and need to tell his most intimate thoughts, which he would not have told to his mother, his sister, or his friend, to this woman, who was almost a stranger. When he afterwards recalled that impulse to unsolicited and inexplicable frankness, which had very important results for him, it seemed to him, as it seems to everyone in such cases, that it was merely some silly whim that seized him. Yet that burst of frankness, together with other trifling events, had immense consequences for him and for all his family. "You see, Aunt, Mama has long wanted me to marry an heiress, but the very idea of marrying for money is repugnant to me." "Oh yes, I understand," said the governor's wife. "But Princess Bolkonskaya, that's another matter. I will tell you the truth. In the first place, I like her very much. I feel drawn to her. And then, after I met her, under such circumstances, so strangely, the idea often occurred to me, this is fate. Especially if you remember that Mama had long been thinking of it, but I had never happened to meet her before. Somehow it always happened that we did not meet. And as long as my sister Natasha was engaged to her brother, it was of course out of the question for me to think of marrying her, and it must needs happen that I should meet her just when Natasha's engagement had been broken off, and then everything. So you see, I never told this to anyone, and never will, only to you." The governor's wife pressed his elbow gratefully. "You know Sonya, my cousin, I love her, and promised to marry her, and will do so, so you see, there can be no question about—" Nicholas said, incoherently and blushing. "My dear boy, what a way to look at it. You know Sonya has nothing, and you yourself say your papa's affairs are in a very bad way. And what about your mother? It would kill her. That's one thing. And what sort of life would it be for Sonya, if she's a girl with a heart? Your mother in despair and you all ruined? No, my dear. You and Sonya ought to understand that." Nicholas remained silent. It comforted him to hear these arguments. "All the same, aunt, it is impossible," he rejoined with a sigh, after a short pause. "Besides, would the princess have me? And besides, she is now in mourning. How can one think of it?" "But you don't suppose I'm going to get you married at once? There is always a right way of doing things," replied the governor's wife. "What a matchmaker you are, aunt," said Nicholas, kissing her plump little hand. All right, there we go, another chapter down, and ladies' man Nikolai is having even more luck, really. Just by chance, he happens to be in the same town as Princess Maya, someone who he has a pretty severe crush on, and also just by chance, the, I think it's the hostess of the party he's at the moment, or at the very least, it's the wife of the governor, happens to be able to arrange a marriage between him and Princess Maya Bolkonski. Pretty lucky with the ladies, and, I think that's a good thing. But of course, it then brings up the whole love triangle question of he's pledged to marry Sonya, his childhood sweetheart, and cousin, I should mention. And he doesn't want to disappoint her by breaking that promise. But he does really like Princess Maya, and Princess Maya is an heiress, which means they'll be comfortable, and his family will be comfortable. I get that he's not into marrying for money. He says so himself in this chapter. He wouldn't want to marry just for money. But it wouldn't be just for money, because he actually really likes Princess Maya. And it really seems to me that mostly the reason he wants to marry Sonya is because he would feel guilty if he didn't. So I am all about Team Maya, personally. But this is one of those great plot points of this novel where I'm sure the audience is divided. Probably says a lot about the kind of person you are, whether you're Team Maya or Team Sonya. Because I suppose being Team Maya, you could say I'm not very loyal to Sonya, or I'm not very sentimental, or I'm not a man of my word, or something like that. Because I think he should break his word. Disappoint Sonya, she'll get over it. She'll probably be better for it in the end, I think. And I think he should marry this lady, Princess Maya, who's a really good match for him. It's funny, he seems to just be following this whim of his, and it keeps working out for him. When he was sent to this town in the first place as a little expedition, a little excursion away from the army, he was pretty happy to be able to nick off from the war for a bit and just go out into a nice little town and get some horses for the army. And he just went kind of headfirst into that. He really sort of relished in it. Rather than doing it begrudgingly, he was like, awesome, I get to go out into this town and just be at peace for a while. He went with the flow, you could say. And then in this chapter, he was talking to this aunt lady, the governor's wife, and just had an impulse to tell her the truth, to tell her everything, his whole situation about Sonya and Maya and everything. He'd never told anyone before. He even said that, and he also said he'll probably never tell anyone again, but just on this particular moment had an urge, had a whim, and he followed it and just told her everything. It was really cool the way that was described, because I've kind of know that feeling when you're like, why am I telling this person everything right now? They're a stranger. I'm telling them more than I've told my own mother, sort of thing. Very relatable feeling. And then he followed that whim, and then in true Nikolai style, it turned out awesomely, because she just happened to be able to make a match between him and Maya and arrange the one thing that he truly wants. So, happy-go-lucky, and he keeps sort of falling on his feet at the moment, so things are going good for young Nikolai. Alright, probably going to stop there on this chapter. Wasn't really a very long chapter, and there wasn't much to it, so there's not a huge amount of comments or anything about it on the subreddit. I suppose I'll take this quick opportunity to again talk about the Patreon, patreon.com/A Year of War and Peace podcast, and if you were to go and become a subscriber for something even as low as $1 per month, it just helps me be a podcaster and helps me to know that you appreciate the work I put into it. Please go and check that out. There's also some bonus podcasts. There's one bonus podcast on there only for subscribers, and there will be more coming up in the future. That's going to do us for today. Thanks for listening. Thank you for considering the Patreon page. And I will see you tomorrow.